testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Another diamond of faith in the crown of his diadem. And we know that there is no end to faith. There's no beginning, no end. It is eternal. But I have a title tonight for our exhortation, and that is Faith is a Living Experience. Faith is a Living Experience. Now, that might sound quite obvious, and one would think, well, you know, I've heard this all before. But unless we are living our faith, it's not really going to be a blessing. We're not really going to understand. We're not really going to enter in to what faith does and can produce. And we know in Galatians 2:20, where it speaks that we're crucified with Christ, it's not I, but Christ who lives in me, as we know. And he says that we now live in the flesh. And this is the part that's so important with it. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I repeat that again. I live by faith in the Son of God, God's provision. My faith, the object of my faith, the experience of my faith, the blessings of my faith is all about the life I have with Jesus. If we try to add or subtract to faith from our experience with Jesus, we have missed it. And many are substituting their experience with their denomination or their doctrines that they have learnt or that their commitment and devotion and how much they pray and go to church, and I could go on. That is the limitation of their faith. But faith, to be a living experience, has to be in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is our experience. That is the faith that turns the world upside down. That is the faith that causes us to be able to endure and triumph through all adversity, obstacles, and so on. And this is why the Spirit is constantly working with us to be completely abandoned on Him. And this is why we have to battle through our moods, our doubts, feelings, frustrations, anger, all those emotions that we've all experienced that really are toward God. These experiences, these emotions, if we let them continue to fester, we are not going to know Jesus Christ. And the enemy uses these things, and I know I make much about this, but he uses these doubts, these feelings, these emotions, despondency, anger, all those things that we all have experienced. The enemy uses this in us because he knows that stops us from our faith experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons attack us in these areas because they want to take our heart, our mind, our attention, everything they can away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the only one that makes this faith walk any sense. Otherwise, the whole thing makes no sense. And Galatians 2:20 tells us this. We've had much teaching over the year about the years about the cross, that we're crucified with Him, and indeed we are, and so on. But I believe the Holy Spirit is really emphasizing the latter part of this verse, that I live by faith in the Son of God, not in myself or my strength or my ideas or my knowledge of the Word, what I understand of the Word, and indeed we are to understand it, but everything comes from the Son of God. What we understand today, now, this moment, comes as a revelation direct from Him. Because He's alive. He lives forevermore. That is whom I'm united with. I'm one with. And that is why the Holy Spirit is constantly working in this, so that we are completely yielded, we're completely abandoned to Him and Him alone. And nothing else. Everything else is secondary. And God uses many, many things. He uses the things of the world. He uses ministry. He uses people like me. But all of that is secondary to my complete abandonment on Him. And if I substitute that for anything else, then I am not going to fully enter into what He says here. And even I would say that you're religiously taking up the cross. Because the cross will not benefit, it will not do its work unless you're fulfilling the latter part, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the only way it can, and it does work. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 tell us? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so it goes on. That is a tremendous encouragement there, because he says, but of Him you are in Christ, amen, because you're a new creation. But he doesn't just stop there. It says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, for you. In other words, he's become your wisdom from God. Not your wisdom, not your understanding, not your ideas. In other words, it is revelation from God, because he is wisdom. It doesn't have to be, he is. And you have become one with him, and you have received that wisdom from him, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, which has to go along with it. So we begin to understand, obviously, that our faith is on a much higher level and understanding than man's wisdom, because 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 tells us so. He is made unto us wisdom. He ministers by the Holy Spirit his wisdom in every situation of your life, your walk, your application of faith, your believing of faith, your embracing the promises of faith. He has given along with you that wisdom, that understanding. It's a level of understanding that he gives us. Now, this wisdom that it speaks of here in 1 Corinthians 1:30 is wonderful when you look at it and analyze it to a deeper extent, because it's a knowledge of every diverse matter revealed from God. This knowledge, this wisdom that he's given, is a wisdom of every diverse matter revealed from God. And this can incorporate skill, management, providence, impartation of truth. It is wisdom to walk godly and upright before him. It's living, it's intelligence, it's understanding of the scriptures, and so on. That is what he imparts to us, and much, much more. But I was very intrigued by that when studying that, because that is what our faith needs. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. You can't just take these promises, you can't just take verses, oh no, I'm in faith and I believe and whatever. That's how doctrines of demons are conceived. No, 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 no. This is why our faith is a living experience. Let's turn to some scriptures on this. Matthew 13, verse 54. Matthew 13 and verse 54. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? This is where Jesus is ministering, and so often he's rejected, and the Pharisees and the religious people are opposing his ministry. But note what is said here. He taught them in their synagogues, and they were astonished, and they were raising this question: where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? So there were miracles, works, and they were raising also the wisdom. In other words, the wisdom that he was receiving from his heavenly Father was producing also the works. You can't divide any of it. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. There we are. Even Jesus had to learn in his childhood, but look how he's growing. He's growing, he's increasing in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. This is vitally important with our walk of faith. It really is. How about Luke 21? Luke chapter 21 and verse 15. Luke 21 and verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. There we are. These are some of the signs that God will give in the end of the age. And we are towards the end of the age. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. And one of the promises through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the latter rain is I will restore this wisdom. I'll bring it back as they walk by faith. And I will give you a mouth of wisdom and your enemies will not be able to come against it. I believe this is being restored. As we remain faithful to the word of God, as we remain faithful to our call, our consecration, as we are completely abandoned on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, he has promised to provide all and more for this last day walk. And finally, Romans 11. Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So this union that we have with him, this abandonment on him, is so vast, is so great. And yet he imparts this to us. This is why we cannot understand any of this, brothers and sisters. This is why God is bringing us to the end of ourselves with regard to what we thought was faith, what we thought was a positive confession, and so on. And praise God, he's merciful, gracious, long-suffering with us. But he's all the while trying to show us where this comes from. And it comes from him and him alone. And this can only be experienced as we are completely abandoned on him. I am thrown completely on him. That is the understanding of Galatians 2:20. And this is a process, I know. We know that Rome was not built in a day. But we're learning so much more about faith now and the operation of faith and the believing of faith and the embracing of the promises of God's word. Because God is destroying the world's wisdom, which has corrupted so much. And sadly, the world's wisdom, which the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, sadly, it has even corrupted a lot of the church down through the centuries. We know this. You don't have to read this now, but in 1 Corinthians 1, 19 to 25, it shows this corruption. And this is why God isn't in a lot of all of this. Because they still are in their own corrupt mind and thinking, and they try to spiritualize this, and they try to walk by faith like this, and you and I were doing it back in the early days. But God was merciful and gracious over us. And eventually he gets our attention. And how does he get them? Well, of course, it's through these trials. And it takes the grace and mercy of God to keep us walking with him when much of our faith over the years has looked quite negative. But why has it looked negative? Why is it I've failed in the areas of faith? There's always a reason. And God is trying to get our attention so that we don't make these mistakes anymore. And I'll tell you nine times out of ten what it is. You're not completely abandoned on him. There is still that independent spirit. There is still that area of independency that I can still walk and live by faith without being abandoned on him, and you can't. And until you settle that, you are in denial. You're still living a lie. And the problem is, for some of us, this is still a dreaded thought. There's still that fear that manifests. Because one day we wake up and suddenly we realise, hang on, this is real. This is what he actually wants. You know, I've only gone so far with all of this, but I'm now realising this is actually what he wants. He wants me completely, utterly abandoned on him. That is what being crucified with Christ is. There is no finer way of being completely abandoned to him than when you are on the cross, which Jesus was. And that is what we are. When the cross is in our lives, we are totally abandoned on him by faith, because there's nothing else. We have to believe that our faith on that cross is producing that relationship that I have with him. Because then everything flows from that. But sadly, there's still that worldly wisdom. But as we know, it's a walk of faith each day. It's not faith just on Sunday. It's not faith being abandoned to Christ when I'm listening to a sermon or reading a good book. We tend to think still that that's my abandonment on Christ, my dependence on him. It's not. It's every second, every moment of the day. It never ceases. Whether I'm in this room, whether we're having a meeting tonight or whatever it is, that makes no difference. I am not more spiritual now this time because I'm in the room listening to a message. If we still have that thinking in our mind, we have not yet understood. That's why our faith is to build us up in him. And the word is to build us up. That's why we have the word of God. You see, the word of God is not the wisdom. The wisdom comes as we believe the word of God and as the word of God encourages us to be completely abandoned on him. It isn't your wisdom because you read the scriptures. You aren't necessarily in faith or experiencing a living faith because you're reading the scriptures. It's unless the word of God, the scriptures, are producing the signs of this. That is the difference. And of course, we know that to be the parable of the sower. And you know, we're all of us, aren't we, experiencing God's love and patience as he's dealing with this unbelief, this fear. He's patient with us because he still doesn't see yet that we are being nourished by him. We're still looking for nourishment elsewhere, just in case. No, it is complete abandonment to him. Now, of course, in the world, you never do that. If you have your own portfolio, you will find with your investments that you invest in various different things. You don't put your eggs in one basket. That's the world's wisdom. And boy, doesn't it take years to get delivered from that mindset? Because we put all our eggs in one basket in him. He will not be shared with man's wisdom, carnal wisdom or understanding. He will not be shared with our unbelief. He will not be shared with our fear. And we are stupid if we think we can do this. This is why Jesus sometimes came very hard on the disciples and rebuked them because of their unbelief. In other words, you can't share this. You either are in or you're not. You either believe or you're not. You're either walking by faith or you're not. That is what he means. But his patience, his long-suffering, his mercy is ever working with us to get us to settle it. You see, our identification with him is to deal with these doubts and these fears. And as we are completely abandoned to him, then it deals with fear. It deals with unbelief. It's this armor that we've been speaking about. And we've shown that this armor is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So when we're completely abandoned to him, it will deal with this. You will just find there's not fear there. I'm not doubting. Because there's a power working on your behalf. There is a helmet over your mind, over your brain, your thinking. You know, brothers and sisters, I am convinced if we stay with this and we want to, we are coming to that place where we can't even doubt because we're so one with him. He is anchoring everything. He's dealing with the moods, the emotions, the despondencies, the attacks and all those things that the enemy comes against. The enemy is soon to find that he's coming against the risen Lord Jesus Christ and he will never triumph because we're completely abandoned to him, on him. And that is what Galatians 2:20 is all about. And in order for that to be done, the cross has to be settled in our lives. And as I've said, all you do is settle it. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And in its nature, it is to get you to live by faith in the Son of God. Not in yourself, not in man's wisdom or the wisdom that you thought, or what you thought was faith, or whatever it is. No, 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 no. Many, many times it's a completely undoing. It's a letting go. And just knowing that Christ in me is my faith, is my promise, my everything. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. All these things. All the things that you have need of. And he knows what we need. And we are finding out, we more and more as we go along with this, that we're no longer asking for things like we used to ask years ago, because we now know that God will provide, which enables us to be able to see greater things that he wants to show us. And this does include, brothers and sisters, our wholeness in mind, body and spirit as we seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he performs these miracles, but each day our life is a miracle. My life is a miracle. I don't even know how I can get up and preach each time or do what I do. I don't even now want to even work it out or whatever. It just flows from being completely abandoned to him. He is the object of our faith, and everything else flows from that. Because this stops us from idolatry. It stops us from looking to man. It stops us from running to someone who's got the gifts of miracles or whatever it is. Because most of your churches, a lot of your charismatics, if they know there's a man with gifts or the gifts of healing, they flock to those meetings to get healed, because they're not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking to him. They're looking to that gift. Jesus knew that. And yet the mercy of God is still there. But God is expecting more from you than that. You are on a different level, and you are being trained for the last days. We are types of saviors that God is preparing because of what is coming upon the earth. There is a wisdom that God is giving to us and to the overcomers that very few in the church age have experienced. We see forerunners like the Apostle Paul and others, and you too are entering into that. But you will only enter into that when you see what the object of your faith is that you are completely abandon to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am devoted to him. He is my life, my all. Nothing else is important except Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that is what he's going to work with the bride as she's making herself ready. I cannot emphasize this enough. And by the grace and mercy of God, I will keep with this, and I will keep coming up with this and coming up with this until it finally drops from the head to the heart, because that is your experience. That is what you are destined for. But still, some of us are not quite sure yet, because we still want to hold on to the old ways for that security. But the cross completely cuts across all of that. And whatever false dependencies we still have in our life, God is going to snip and cut away till they're all gone. Because every area you're still holding on in your own strength, your own wisdom, there is fear, there is unbelief, there is confusion still with that. And the enemy knows it. And that is where he fires those darts. But praise God, he loves us. He's not given up on us. He's invested so much in us and others who are believing likewise. This is why we call this the deeper life. It is a deeper walk. It is that open door you can go in and through as far as you want. So faith is a living experience. There is so much to experience from the Lord. We're just scratching the surface. This is such a deep walk that we cannot fathom this. We can't get our mind, our intellect into this. There's no way we can. I don't want to try and work any of this out in my mind. I want to receive that wisdom that only comes from Him. And as He reveals that wisdom from above, He's given me a mind, He's given me a brain where I can then understand it. That is how it comes. You see, we know that God lives in our heart. That's where He resides. We're one with Him. So everything comes from within, from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. His teaching, His guidance. The world's wisdom comes from outside, trying to get in. And there's the difference. And when we're in unbelief, we go to the world to try and understand faith, miracles, what faith produces and everything, and it leads nothing but to confusion, frustration, and all the things that we have experienced in the past. The faith that God will answer is the faith that comes from within. It comes out of Him. He is our faith. He's given us the gift of faith. This faith, which is a gift, belongs to Him. The same as now you belong to Him. You are not your own anymore. You have no right to yourself anymore. You have surrendered to the oneness and the unity with God. Now, for some, that may sound frightening, crazy, but that is what it is. And God is so gentle with us as He works these great truths and mysteries into our lives. He's so gentle, He's so merciful. He never forces us, but He's always encouraging us to show us where it is we still go wrong and why things are not happening yet in my life, or I'm not seeing the manifestations yet of things. It's because we're still holding on, but He wants that complete abandonment to Him. And the only way, brothers and sisters, as I finish with this now, that this will work is to stay with this. Let this be your prayers. Let this be your conversation with God. Let this be the focal point until you experience this, till you break through in this. Because I believe we are. I believe we're on the threshold of a major breakthrough in this assembly. And I believe this is the key to this. It's very instrumental. Because everything spiritually will make sense. When our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding all comes from Him, it all makes sense. How can we doubt it? It's right. It's what I'm destined for. It's what is in the kingdom of God. This is why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying the wisdom of God on the earth, in my life, in the church. And the way He does it is through His Son who lives in us. He is our wisdom. He is our wisdom for us to live by faith and experience this faith walk each day. Amen. Heavenly Father, again, sometimes this is so simple, it's why we miss it. We complicate it, Father, and forgive us, because fear, unbelief will do this. We are still at times struggling in our own strength. And that is the word, struggling. But you've not saved us to struggle, to fight, to try. They're all things of unbelief, of man's wisdom. Lord, we're above all of that. You've shown us in the scriptures that faith is a rest. We don't have to try, because the one who has overcome the cross, death into life, is the one who lives in us, and his name is Jesus. And we draw our life, our faith, our whole being from him. And this only comes, Lord, as you've shown us, as we're completely committed, abandoned to you and you alone. Lord, whatever hindrance is still within our lives, Lord, please deal with them. Please remove them, Father, that we fulfill all and more your desire as the bride's making herself ready for the last days. There are times we don't understand this, Lord, but we now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we look foolish for Christ. It doesn't matter if the family or the world don't understand us. All that matters is that we know, and we know what you're saying. We know what faith is. We are receiving that wisdom that comes from above, which faith so needs to walk by and apply. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for our assembling together, our fellowship. And Lord, may we walk this week by faith, totally abandoned upon you. Grant, Father, that we would be a blessing, that you will move us alongside to those who are perishing, that you may fill our mouths with those words of hope and good news, and anoint our hands that miracles may be wrought through them. Father, we are believing for this. We believe we're being trained for this. We're destined for this. How it's done, we don't know. When it's done, we don't know. All we know is Jesus is in us, and he knows the right time and the right way. And Father, if there are still these areas of unbelief, fear, doubt, confusion, we are asking that these will be removed. And you've shown us how they're removed by being completely abandoned to you. Everything else in our life is secondary to Jesus. Lord, you know all things. You know our going out and our coming in. You know everything about us infinitely more than we even know ourselves. But one thing we do know is that we are at this time, this moment, walking with you and looking to you. And that is enough. That is all we need. For this we ask in Jesus' name.
my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.